Okay. Today's Daf Mem Gimel. We're on the top line of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Today we're going to, until we get to the Mishnah, and the whole Amud Aleph and half of Amud Beis is going to be just very, very dry. Just Psukim. And what Ula had said yesterday, that the Psukim are sometimes, the Limudim of the Psukim sometimes are inconsistent, and they sometimes undo what they undo a previous Limud, sometimes they sustain a previous Limud. That's today's daf. Till we get to the Mishnah, then we're on to the next stage of the Kohen Gadol's Yom Kippur Avoda. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, Leila Nishmas. Sorry, excuse me. Leila Nishmas Avrumi's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen. So, next, the pasuk says, "Veshachat Osa," and the you should check it, meaning the Parah Aduma. You should check it. So the Gemara makes a diuk. Shlo yishchat acheres ima. They shouldn't check another animal, even another parah aduma, with it. Just only one by itself, nothing else with it. Lifanov, and it should be lifanov. So we had this yesterday. Lirav, according to Rav, what does it mean lifanov? Shlo yisiech daito mimena. Don't have. You should not have hesach hadas. Don't space out. Don't think about other things. Lifanov. The idea of the parah aduma should be in front of you. You realize what you're doing. Focus. Have kavana. With Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who said that the Sagan was not the one who was the shochet, Shehehe Zor shochet ve'lozer roa, that the Zor is shechting and Eliezer the Sagan is watching. It's lefonov of Eliezer. It's in front of Eliezer. Eliezer is watching. V'lokach Elazar haKohen midama be'etzba'o, and Eliezer haKohen will take the dam. Right, with his finger. So Lishmuel, why does it say Velakach Elazar HaKohen? That's what the Gemara is. Why does it say Velakach Elazar? Why couldn't it just say Velakach HaKohen? So Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, Lahadure LeElazar, to go back to Elazar, because according to Shmuel, somebody else was doing the Shechita. Now the pasuk says, and by the way, now it's Elazar. We're back to Elazar. The only thing Elazar could, someone else could do, was the Shechita. But once it comes to the Kabbalah Tadam, it's got to be Elazar again.
Was Elazar still
a
Sagan over here?
Yeah, he's a Sagan. But according to Shmuel, somebody else could do the Shechita. But now Elazar had to do the Kabbalah Tadam, everything else. L'Rav, according to Rav, who held Elazar anyway did the Shechita. Anyway, it was Elazar all along. Nobody else was here. So why does it say Elazar again? We know it's Elazar. The whole thing's Elazar. So the Gemara says, Havi Miyut Achar Miyut. It's a Miyut. It said Elazar once. It says Elazar again, Ve'en miyad achar miyad el l'rabos. And it says, we have a rule, Ve'en miyad achar miyad el l'rabos. When you have two miyutim in a row, it's coming to be marbe something. What's it coming to be marbe? Afilu kohen hedyot. Even a kohen hedyot, listen to this, even a kohen hedyot is allowed to do Kabbalah Sadam. Rashi explains, this is one of the examples that Ula said yesterday of his principle of kala parsha kula mimash b'motzi miyad mash b'mash b'mela, right? Because what do you have over here? You have a situation where Rav holds the shechita was done by Elazar, but the kabbalah sadam can be done by anybody, and Shmuel holds the exact opposite. The shechita can be done by anybody, but the kabbalah sadam had to be done by the sagan. So you have limudim that undo what you just learned. According to both of them, because they both go in opposite directions. Like we said, like Ulu said yesterday. Next, it says v'lokach haKohen, and the Kohen should take eight erez ve'ezov u'shni solas, right? Eight erez cedar wood ve'ezov ezov grass shni solas and a red string. So, again, why does it say v'lokach haKohen? Who else is doing it? So Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, he holds dafilu b'Kohen hedyot. Even a Kohen hedyot can do this. That's why it emphasizes HaKohen. L'Rav, according to Rav, he holds the Kohen can't do this. So, but Itzroch, I still have needed to say Kohen. Sogad et Chamina, I would think, Kivun de Lav Gufa de Paraninhu, since all this has nothing to do with the animal itself, it has to do with the Paraduma process, but not with the Paraduma's body, lowly boy Kohen. So I would think, maybe a Kohen is not necessary. Kamash Malon, that's why the Torah singles out and emphasizes the word Kohen to teach me this limud. Next. it says V'chibes begadav ha-kohen, and the kohen will wash his clothes, which means he's going to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. So the Gemara says bikihuno, he has to be wearing his begadav. That makes him a kohen. V'tamei ha-kohen ad ha-erev, and then the kohen will become tamei till evening, right? Whichever kohen is involved in the procedure, he becomes tamei. Kohen bikihuno l'doros, meaning it always, why does it say that? Again, a kohen. To tell me that l'doros, it always has to be done by a kohen. And that's why it emphasizes here the word kohen. Now, hami chalamanda amar l'doros.
Also the paraduma.
What?
Also the paraduma.
Also the paraduma.
It says you're also required for paraduma.
Yeah.
Only.
What?
Only.
Yeah, only, right. So yesterday, we had a machlokes. If the kohen, if the segan is not doing it, who is doing it in future generations? So the segan is not doing it, so who is? So we had a machlokas, either the kohen gadol or anybody. So now we're saying it's anybody, right? So that makes sense according to that. So hanichal lamanda amar that what? That if it's anybody, he's wearing the bigdei kahuna. Hanichal lamanda amar l'doros b'kohen had yod shapir. The one who said yesterday that if the segan's not doing the avoda, who is anybody? That makes a lot of sense. And by the way, that anybody, whichever coin it is, has to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. Ela lamanda amar l'doros b'kohen gadol. But according to the one who holds, it's the kohen gadol. And in future generations, only the first one was done by the segan. Right? We said Kedara couldn't do it because he was involved in the egel. He couldn't be involved in the kapar. But in future generations, it is going to be the kohen gadol. So hashta kohen gadol be'inon b'kihuno mibaya. If it's a kohen gadol, so you need to tell me I have any of the limud that it's a that he has to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. Of course, so the Gemara says, and you're right. Milsa de ishi b'kal v'chomer, something that is meant, it can be learned out of a kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is if a kohen gadol is doing it, so certainly a kohen hedyon has to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. So kohen gadol milsa de ishi b'kal v'chomer, something that can be available, can be derived from a kal v'chomer. Tarach v'kasav lakra, the Torah will nevertheless go out of its way and write it in a pasuk. We had this principle already. We never say this. We never say something that you can learn out from gzeira shava. The Torah will say it anyway, more explicit. Something that you can learn out from a hekish, the Torah will anyway be more explicit. We don't have that principle. We only have a mechal v'chomer. Why? So I think we said this once. Because the Bnei Tzatzchah says, I'm sure others say it also, because a kal v'chomer is the only one of the yud gimel midos you could derive out of your own logic. All the rest you have to have a mesorah. You have to have a mesorah. So sometimes the Torah wants you to know, by the way, your logic, it's also in the Torah. Torah also, it's also there. It's not just you. You can come with any kal v'chomer you want. Right? You can't come up with any zera shava you want. It has to be a mesorah. All of them have to have klal, prad, klal. You have to have a mesorah what that means. Right? Shekhar says even in times of Gemara they didn't know the art of klal, prad, klal anymore. So, because if you think about it, the whole Torah is a klal, prad. Every pasuk could be a klal, prad, klal. You have to have a mesorah what that means. When you say that, when you don't. You can make your own logic. You can sit, well, this is this, and certainly that. It's pure logic. So the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, it's not only your logic, it's also, there's also a Masorah to that, also. The Torah also has Mechav into that, too. Okay. Next. V'asaf es ha-tahar es efer ha-parah v'hiniach. And then you will gather, the Tahar Kohen, will gather up the Afer of the parah and v'hiniach, and he'll place it into the cup, and he'll add the water, and you'll make the parah aduma liquid, the drink there that you're going to sprinkle. So what does it mean? Asaf ish tahar. What's ish? So the Gemara says ish lahachshir es hazar. So anybody could do that, even a zar. You know why? Because it doesn't say the word kohen. It says ish. All of a sudden, it throws in a word that's generic. So that means anybody, even a zar. Tahar, what do you mean tahar? Of course, it has to be someone tahar. So the Gemara makes a limud lahakshir es isha. Even a woman can do this. Even a woman. V'haniach, and it means it has to be placed down. You place it down. Mi sheyesh bo das laniach. Somebody who has das to place it down. Yatza cheresh shota v'katan she'ain behem das laniach. Though these people, a cheresh, a shota, a katan, are excluded from any being involved at all because they don't have any das. So I don't know. I thought about that. The Gemara's going to go on to it a little more. But I think Rashi says, again, this is another example of what Ula said yesterday, that sometimes they have limudim, that undo previously limudim, sometimes they sustain previously limudim, just the limud. I'm not sure why. No. Ish is being married by anybody.
Right,
because the whole.
The woman,
the right.
Say that, so that's
Rav, why does Torah have to do the woman?
Anyone is tar.
Okay, maybe that's pshat. Anyone is tar. Right. Fine. So now that we mentioned the issue of chayr of a cotton and isha, we're going to go into it a little more. So tanan hasam, we have a mission over there in Masechtas Para. Hakol ksher in lekadesh. Anyone's kosher to be mekadesh. What does mekadesh mean? Mekadesh means to add the afar and the water and to get you this drink. So anyone can do that. Except for a cherishot of a cotton. They can't. From Yehuda, machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says a cotton can, but uposil b'isha. But a woman can't. Uba adrogonus. And an adrogonus, or a person of undetermined gender, they can't because they're a safek isha. So, first of all, why only. So the Tanakama, this is another example. Tanakama says a woman yes, a cotton no. And Rabbi Yehuda says a cotton yes, a woman no. What? Right, so that's exactly Ulu's point. Sometimes they have limudim that are just undoing previously limudim, and sometimes they're not. So, so Tosfos asked, I don't know if it's here, it's somewhere, why a katan? Why is Rabbi Yehuda allowing a katan and nobody else? What about a cherish and a shota? So the answer is because a katan is the best of the three. Because a katan will have das one day. The other two, we have no clue. Okay? The other two need help. Cotton just has to grow up. So no, that's why cotton is considered more better than the other two, because it just grow up, will become he'll have that. The other two need help.
Well, why is it a slush when you make this paste?
What?
When you make this concoction, why is it a slush?
Who said it's on Shabbos?
The Vikings.
So it could be that I don't know what you're doing. There's machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos if you pour the water on the ashes or the ashes on the water. It's machlokas. Right, it seems, well, it's very shver. Rashi here says, you do one way. Rashi says in the Rashi, says mayim ala efer b'kli cheres, to pour the water on the efer. And everybody jumps on this Rashi because it's basically, it's not true. Either it's a machlokas tanoim, or it's not even a machlokas. Everyone agrees you do it the other way. What's Rashi talking about? So, but if it's not lush, what do you need? You're not mixing anything. I don't know. It's not food anyway. I don't know. My time with Rabbanon, what's the reason the Rabbanon say a woman yes, or the Rabbanon is a Tanakama. What's the reason the Rabbanon say a woman yes, and a Cheresh of the no? What's the reason for that? Diksiv, because it says, V'lokhu l'tame me'afar sreifas hachatos. Right? And they will take the afar of the sreifas hachatos. Hanach the psilach basifa, those who are puzzled, those who are ineligible to do this asifa, this gathering of the ashes, psilelach bekidush. They are also possible to mix the drink together with the afer. The hanach dachshirilach basifa, those that are kosher to do the gathering, meaning women, achshirilach bekidush, they are able to do the kiddush as well. So a woman, yes, a katan, no. Next, Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're right, Rabbanon, im kain le makra v'lokach. And the pasuk should only say v'lokach in the singular. My v'lokhu. Why is it plural? What, you know why it's plural? Da filu katan de pasulach hasam. Even a katan who in other cases is ineligible, hacha kosher. Here is good. That's why it says v'lakhu in the plural. And isha menolon. How do I know an isha is no good? According to Yehuda. A woman can't do this. Because it says v'nasan v'lo v'nasna. Meaning in the masculine, not in the feminine. That's what Yehuda says. The Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon say, I kasev rachmano v'lakach v'nasan. Had it only been in the singular, havamina, I would have thought, Ad the shakel chad, the yav chad. Only one person, only one person is required to be involved in the gathering of the ashes. What if two people want to do it together? That would be no good. But that's why the Torah goes out of its way and says v'lachu, so that even if you have two people and they want to do it together, it's okay. But had it said both v'lachu and v'nasnu, had both lashon, both of them been written in the plural, havamina, I would have thought ad deshakli trei v'yahavi trei, that it had to be dafka too. Torah emphasizes twice, it has to be plural. Meaning, two people have to do the asifa, two people have to put it down. Therefore, kasar rachmana v'lachu v'nasan, that's where the Torah switches from plural to singular. Da'afilu shakli chad v'yahiv chad, that even if one did it and one put it down, it's also going to be good. So you have the option, but it's not required. That's why, according to the Rabbanon, that's why it says v'lachu in plural. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda again says, Isha, yes. Cotton, yes. Isha, no. And the Rabbanon say, Isha, yes. Cotton, no. What? Right. And not only that, many times we have Ish and we include a woman. Many times you have that. They point this out to Mefarshim. Many times you have a case where it'll say Ish and it includes a woman, and it's just generic, right? The Torah just says it in one. Torah doesn't know. It's not like in the statutes they change it. He or she, right? In the past 20 years, they all changed in America. It's not like that. The Torah says it once and it applies to everybody, unless there's a reason why it shouldn't, right? So they ask that question. So the answer that Rashi says, I think Rashi says that's one of the examples. That we're including a woman for procedure A, but we're not including her for procedure B. That's very unusual, right? Very unusual. It's a very unusual shita that she could do, that she can't do. So he's forced to say that. But the Venasan's excluding her. There's no logic to this. There's no logic why she can't do that. She can only do the gathering, but she can't do the why can't she do the mixing? It's not an avoda here. It's not. Even if she's a koheres, it's nothing to do with the right. Anyone could do this. So, yeah, it's very forced. It's all forced. It's very forced. In Echanami, it's forced. What? Because they don't have any das. That's what he said. So, since the Torah says lahaniach, that if you put it down, it means someone who has das to do that. And we say shecheres of a cotton has no das. Right? It's not a maisa kof ba'alma. Anyone could do it. Apparently, you must have some kind of das over here. And they're excluded. Right. It's shver, I agree. It's very shver. V'lokach, next. V'lokach ezov v'tovel b'mayim ish tahar. Right? So, ish tahar is going to do this. In ish tahar, I'm sorry. V'lokach ezov v'tovel b'mayim ish tahar. You're fine. Right. The Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, ish v'lo isha. Right? According to the Rabbanon, only a man can do this, not a woman. This is exactly the opposite of what we said before.
Before we said tahar.
Right. Well, tahar, lahakshir is a cotton. Now, a tahar is going to include the cotton. And Tosafot says again, because he's going to grow up. L'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ish v'lo cotton. Ish is not a cotton. And tahar is lahakshir is a isha. Exactly the reverse of what we said before. So in the following pasuk, each of them holds the exact opposite shita. Which is another example of Ula. That's what this whole daf is. Just Ula is giving examples of cases where they undo the previously mudim. Now, meisvei. So what we just said was that according to Yehuda, a woman yes, a cotton no. So meisvei, wait a minute. It says in Masechta Para, hakol ksherin lahazos, everybody's allowed to sprinkle. Chutz, mitumtum v'androgynous, except for a tumtum and an androgynous. Now, a tumtum is somebody who is a specific gender, but we don't know. As opposed to an androgynous, with the whole person's a suffix. But here, it's not a suffix legai with the person, but we just don't know. We can't be mavarer. We can't clarify because there's tissue that's blocking the makom, and we don't know what the person is. But, so everyone discusses, why wasn't Tumtum mentioned before? Anyway, the Mishnah says, everyone's kosher to do hazah, except for a Tumtum and androgynous, the isha. And before, Rabbi Yehuda said, well, no, v'katan, sheyesh bo das, dot. So before, Rabbi Yehuda said a woman's okay. One line ago, Rabbi Yehuda v'katar l'hakshar ta'isha. Rabbi Yehuda said a woman can do the sprinkling. Here, the Mishnah says that a woman can't. But for katan, if somebody's a katan, she bodas and has das, isha misiyaso umata. Even a woman can even watch him, make sure to help him, and then it'll be okay. And for lo polo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue with that Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. That Mishnah says a woman's ineligible. Rabbi Yehuda said one line ago that a woman is eligible. So in that Mishnah in part, why did Rabbi Yehuda argue? Right? Fair question. Why did Rabbi Yehuda argue? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Kivan to Amar Mar, since Ula said yesterday, Motzim Mashma Miyad, Umashma Mashma Meila, that Lemudim are either sustaining previous Lemudim or they're contradicting previous Lemudim. So Enachanam Rabbi Yehuda argues. Why didn't he mention it? Because it was assumed that he's going to argue, because they always argue on everything. Every Lemudim is being undone in the next Pasuk. So therefore, the Mishnah didn't feel it was necessary to mention him, except as Parah, but it was assumed that Rabbi Yehuda argued, and of course he does argue, as you see from the Limud of today. The Amar, okay, fine. Next. Fihiza ha-tahar al-ha-tameh. And the tahar will sprinkle on the tameh. So what does it mean the tahar will sprinkle? Right? So the Gemara says tahar. Since it says tahar, michlal shehu tameh. That must be he was tameh. Otherwise, why does it say tahar? Why does it say the ish? The kohen, whoever's doing it. What do you mean the tahar is doing it? It must mean he was once upon a time tamei. He just now became tahar. Limeid al tvul yom shekasher b'para. This teaches us that a tvul yom is kosher to do the paraduma sprinkling. As a matter of fact, we require that. Right? We would purposely make somebody tamei just so he should be a tvul yom. We had this in the beginning of the Masechta. Just as should be a tful yom. Why? Lahotzi milim shel tzedukim. Because tzedukim held that has to be daska someone who's 100% tar. And we have a limud. No, it could even be somebody who's a tful yom who would daska make it a tful yom just to show they're wrong. So how come yesterday, 2 days ago, when the talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, let's switch the lottery to the right hand. Let's do that so that it'll be a better segula that we're having to the right. And what did Rabbi Akiva say? No, it's tzedukim are going to bother us. Should it be just the opposite? We don't care what the tzedukim say. Right? We don't care what the tzedukim say. Right? So it's a very, very good question. The question is a lot better than the answer. So the Mefarshim answer, because the only mile over there was just the segula of the yamin. There's no din. But here, there's an absolute din, the absolute halacha, that someone who's not that someone who's a tful yom could do it. So it was much more of a reason over here to we don't care what they're going to say. They're going to make fun and bother us and call us names and say we don't know halacha, we're making things up. We'll live with that. But there's an absolute halacha that it could be done by a tful yom. Over there, what is it? It's just a segula that's in the yamin. That's not reason enough to open the door for them. The best I can come up with.
I mean, by the lottery, it's more mockery than you fixing the lottery. Here, it's
yeah, but the yamin had some value. It obviously had that. We don't understand that value, but it had some value. So far, it says Dukem are going to make fun. So they're not going to make fun here. Right. Right, but that's the same thing. But over there, it's more of the integrity, and over here, we just have an opinion of halacha. I hear you. But, ask that question. Fine. Amar of Asi, ki havi bo Rab Yochanan and Rosh Lakish papara, when Rab Yochanan and Rosh Lakish were learning Hilchas Paraduma, lo maskimina ela kemai demasik ta'ala mibe karva. They were only able to reach conclusions like a fox in a plowed field. When a fox in a plowed field looking for food, nothing there. It's all been plowed. So he comes back empty-handed. He comes back, all he has is dust on his feet, Rashi says. Chazak dust on his feet. So too, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were trying to make an order. They were trying to make sense out of all these lamudim, and they were unsuccessful. They were unsuccessful because, like we said, like we've been saying all along, each pasuk, each limud, each pasuk contradicts the they couldn't make a rhyme or reason out of it. Zeres HaKasov, but they couldn't make a seder and couldn't understand exactly why a woman here yes, a woman here no, why a cotton yes, a cotton. They couldn't do it. They couldn't figure it out. Zeres HaKasov, that's the way it is. Ella, Amri, Masha, Mozi, Miad, Masha, Masha, Mela. All they could do was say, sometimes yeah, sometimes there's the previous pasuk, the next pasuk undoes the previous limud, and sometimes it doesn't. There's no rhyme or reason, we couldn't figure it out. Tani Tana Kamedra of Yochanan, someone who taught Brisos, taught it in front of Rabbi Yochanan the following. Kol HaShechitos, all Shechitos, Aksheros Bazar, are mutter by Azar, we know that already. Chutz, except Michel Para. Except for the power of a Kohen Gadol, except for the Para Aduma, that has to be done by a Kohen. Oh, everything else, yes, but not that one. Amar Rav Yochanan, Puk Tani Levra, go take your learning outside. Meaning you're wrong. Right? There's like four or five places where that appears in Shas. It's always Rav Yochanan who says it. He says, take your learning outside. Take it outside. Lo Batsi Yerusha Shechita Bazar Psula. We never find that a case where Shechita of Azar is possible. Even by Parad, we never find such a thing. What? One minute. Rabbi Yochanan lo mi boya l'tarna de lo tzayis. Not only did he not want to agree with this anonymous person who learned prices, he didn't want to agree with that. He told him to go outside. El afil l'rabbe lo tzayis. Even his own Rebbe he didn't agree with. The Amr of Yochanan mishum mishum bet Yehud Tzadok. Rabbi Yochanan said in his name, right? Shechitas para bizarre psula, no good. Vani Amr and I say sure, it is good. Why? Lo matir shechitas psula bizarre because we never have such a thing. So it's an old machlokas. It's an old machlokas, and he's taking one stand. Right. Right. So he's saying even never. Right. Right. Fine. Next. Balo Eitzel Paroshnia. So what happened was the Kohen Gadol made a vidui. Okay, so now we finished all those limudim, we finished Ula. Very 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 difficult Gemara. There's a lot there that underneath the surface we just scratched the surface. It's very very difficult, very very dry. We tried to give it a little life, but if you go over it again and you have a chumash in front of you, it's not so. It'll be much more palatable because you'll see the tzukim right there. Okay, so we go on. Next, the Paraduma, the Kohen on Yom Kippur now, okay, Paraduma is over, back to Yom Kippur. So the Kohen would go to his own par, he would make a vidui, then he would do other stuff, then go back to the par, do a vidui, and he would do a second vidui. And the second vidui, he mentioned all the Kohanim, not just himself and his wife and his family, he mentioned all the Kohanim. So, Maishno b'vidui rishon, Dolo Amr Uvnei Kohen Am Kedoshecha. How come by the first video he didn't mention Hashem? He didn't mention Am Kedoshecha. He didn't mention his whole family. Right? Many before I should point out, what do you mean Am Kedoshecha? They're a holy nation. It means they're holy Shevet. Not a holy nation. But they use the Lashon Am Kedoshecha. Umayishna Bevidui Sheni. How come by the second video the Amar Uvnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha? How come you're mentioning that everybody else? So, this is the best way to do things like that. Rather, somebody who's clean should come be mechaper on the mechayev. And as someone who's chayev should not be mechaper on the chayev. Meaning, first Aaron will ask for forgiveness for himself. Once he did that, then he's able to ask for forgiveness for everybody else. Because now, supposedly, he's a Zakai, and he could ask for forgiveness on the rest of the Kahanim, rather than do it at one lump time, where everyone's in the same boat, and he's asking for forgiveness to everybody. When he himself is also still Mechayiv, because he hasn't gotten Kapar yet. Amazingly enough, based on this Gemara, the Matar Ephraim quotes that if somebody's in the business on Erev Yom Kippur, or Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and he's running a Kaparis stand, people are coming to do Kaparis, he should do Kaparis first. Based on this idea, he should do kaparis first, and then the whole stand will have the idea that he's telling, he's available, whatever job he's doing, he's already a zakai because he already did it, and he's helping out everybody else who still didn't do it yet. You shouldn't say, okay, when everyone's done, when I have a free moment, I'll do it. No, you do it first. It's amazing. Okay. Next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah is, now, Shachtu, he shachted his own power, the coin bottle. The kibel, he accepted, he received the dam, the mizbeik in a bowl, es damo, it's dam. The nastan, he would give it, lemi shehu mamareit bo. He would give it to somebody who would stir the dam. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol is not going to use this dam for the sprinkling yet. He still had other stuff to do. So the halacha is, the dam is not allowed to congeal. It's not allowed to congeal, it has to remain dam. So they would get, this guy, this Kohen would be there, and all he would do was stir the dam to make sure it didn't congeal. That was his whole job. And while that was going on, where would that take place? Bo ala rovet haravi shebehechol. It would take place on the fourth step of the Heichel. What does that mean? Bachlokas, what that means. Some say it means on the steps going into the Shaar Nicanor. Some say it means that it's just a demarcation line where it would be convenient for the Kohen Gadol. He wouldn't have to walk so much. And some say that there were Rashi says, Kol haritzpa asu yeshuros shuros tavlos av neshayish. The whole Heichel was done in stages of marble. The whole shur v'shur kuyin roved. Each strip of marble was called a rovad, because al gadaita al shur revias shem be pesach a Heichel v'lufnim ka'amar. And it was still on the fourth one, just for convenience. Kedei shlo yikrosh, so that the blood should not congeal. Natal machta, he would take a shovel. For Ola, what's he taking a shovel for? Because he's going to go down to the Kodesh Kedashim. So he would take a shovel. The Ola Larosh HaMizbeach, he would go up to the top of the Mizbeach. Upana Gecholim Eilich VeEilich, he would separate the Gecholim, the coals, one side to the other side. The Chosa Min HaMakulos HaPanimios. And he would get coals that were extremely burnt up on the inside. Totally destroyed on the inside, totally burnt up. Nice and hot. The yared, and he would go down. The hinicha al harovad haravi shebazara, and he would place it on the fourth step, on the fourth rovad in the azara. So it's a halmach locus. Is this the same step where the guy's mixing the dam over there? It's at heichal. Here it's at azara. Is it the same? Is it not the same? It's a machlokas. Some say yes. Some say no. Now that we said that, then now the Mishnah has a pause, and the Mishnah, and he's going to end up taking that shovel with the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedashim. But the Mishnah has an open parenthesis and discusses the differences between Yom Kippur and every day regarding the Ketores. The Ketores was brought every day, twice a day. And Yom Kippur was brought three times. The regular twice a day, and the special Yom Kippur, which we're discussing right now. So b'chol yom, every day, ha'yisachos ha'bishal kesef u'mar ha'bishal zav. They would take a large shovel of silver and pour it into a smaller one of gold. But Vayom, but on Yom Kippur, Chota Mishal Zav. This was only done with gold. Only one golden shovel. Why? Rashi says to make it easier for the Kohen Gadol. Not to have to work so hard. Big shovel, little shovel. Just make it simple. He's fasting, he's been up all night. Make it simple, that's all. There's no other mystical reason for this.
I thought we don't use shovels, I think the Eker Nasis and Eger.
That's only inside. We're going to get to that. There's a big shiloh what that means. In the Eker, Eger, Nasis and Eger. Right, it's only inside. Kohen Gadol wore big day Zav outside. Yes, only Lefnai V'Lefnim. That's why we say things that we do in our shul for Enka Tegar Nasa Senegar, we're assuming that the shul is like the Kosh Kedasha. It's a big Moshe Haskell. That's what we're assuming. Because outside he was able to wear big days off. Right? Like I think we say that you shouldn't put gold, don't line gold on the shofar. Even if it's not a problem of the coal being a hefsik. It's still ideas of Enka Tegar Nasa Senegar, right? Which means that your shul is like the Kosh Kedasha. Yeah? A woman can wear gold jewelry, you can wear a gold watch, right? So it's a fine line when we say it, when we don't. It's a fine line when we say it, when we don't. We're going to get to it later in the Masechta. Machdis b'chol yom chuta shel arbas kabin. Every day the shovel would start off as a shovel of four kabin. Uma'ara l'salach shalosh kabin, and he would transfer it to a shovel of three kabin. Why? Because we don't want. So what's all falling on the floor? The extra kav. What's going on? Because he wanted to have exactly the share of three kabin. So he would take a little more, and then when he would transfer it, it could be a heaping three. That's why they did it that way. But over here, by Yom, Chotza Misholosh's kabin. Again, Here they would only start off with three. Why? Because it's very, that's a very tough job. So, again, just not have to make things more taxing on the Kohen Gadol. Start four, transfer. No, just bring three right away. Ubahaya machnis, and he would bring it just with three. They would pile on three, and he would bring it that way. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chol yom chosa b'shal sa, umar b'shal shal shakabin. His is slightly different. He says every day it was a sa, which I believe is six, and then he would put it into three. V'ayom, but today chosa b'shal shakabin, ubahaya machnis. B'chol yom, every day, ha'isak veda, every day the shuffle was heavier. V'hayom, kala, but today it was lighter. They used lighter metal, lighter gold. B'chol yom, every day, ha'isak yada kitzara, every day the shuffle had a very short handle. But v'hayom, but today, arucha, it was a very long handle. So Rashi says, he could hold it under his armpits. It's a very long shuffle, he could hold it under his armpits, and it's much easier to hold it that way than to hold it in your hand. So that's why they made the shuffle the very, very long. B'chayom every day, ha'isa zahava yarok. Every day was gold. It was gold. V'hayom, but today, adom. It was red gold. Divi Rabbi Menachem. That's the sheet of Rabbi Menachem, which leads people to conclude that somebody argues on him. Otherwise, it just could be anonymous. But you're mentioning who it is. B'chayom every day, makrif pras b'shachris u'pras bin harvayim. They would bring half the amount in the morning and half in the afternoon. Standard ketores. Vayom, but on Yom Kippur, Moses Molei Chafnav, they would add on Molei Chafnav, the amount he could hold in his hands. We're going to get to that later on. We're going to get to that soon. The exact way that the Kohen Gadol would bring this Ketoret, but it was different than the morning and the night. B'chol Yom every day, Haisa Daka, every day the Ketoret was very fine. Vayom Daka Min Adaka, but on Yom Kippur it was super fine. Rashi says they would grind up even more fine. B'chol yom every day, kahanim olim b'mizracho shel kevet v'yordin b'maravo. Every day, the Kohen Gadol, whenever he walked up to the mizbeach, he would start on the right. He would go on the east, which is the right, and he would come down on the left. Remember, we had that already because he always start on the right. V'hayom, but today, Kohen Gadol olim b'emtza v'yordin b'emtza. He would go up the center and come down the center. Why would he do that? Rashi says, because it's much more of it shows that you don't have to have that same kind of awe and respect. I have to go on the right, like it's covered. No, I can go straight up the middle. It shows you're ben bias. It shows you're so familiar with Hashem that you don't have to have that. Right? When someone's a good friend, when someone's a ben bias, they don't have to knock, they don't have to bring a bottle of wine every time they come. Right, because they've been biased. So too on Yom Kippur, that's how the Kohen Gadol treated himself. Not to have that old respect and that distance. No, you walk right in, up the center. And very interesting. Rabbi Huda Omer, every day he could do that. And the other Kohen not. Kohen Gadol every day could do that. Next, b'chol yom Kohen Gadol makdish yad v'raglav ben akiyar. Every day he would wash his hands and feet from the kiyar. Vayom, but today minakiton shel zahav. He would wash it with a special jug of gold. Again, it's gold. It's more covered. This leads many to question: then what is the kiyar there for? Is the kiyar ma'akiv? So some say we had this already. Maybe it's not. It's just a function, but it's not ma'akiv. Some say maybe not the first one. The first one we said might have been that it's necessary. This is talked about later on. The other ones, he washed his hands and feet 10 times. So the other ones could have been done with a jug of gold, not the first one. Others say maybe even the first one. Every day he could do it. That raises the question even more. Every day there were four ma'arachos, four separate fires on the top of the mizbeach. There's a big one, and then there were three little ones. But today chamesh, there was an extra one for the coals. Well, the Gemara will go into that. That's Reb Meir. Reb Yossi Omer, b'chol yom shalosh. Every day there were three. Vayom arba, but today there were four. And Reb Yehuda Omer, b'chol yom shnayim. Every day there were two. Vayom shalosh, and today there were three. Because they were all doing different things. One was burning. One was the coals that they would set up to use later on for the ketores. So they didn't want that to be the same one where the animals were being burnt. Just a different fires, different functions. Okay, so that's the long Mishnah here that discusses the next part of the Big Dikuna. I know today was very, very dry, difficult dash. Tomorrow is much more to it, and tomorrow we get into some mystical ideas about a lot of the avodos, and that's tomorrow.